Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. Today is the start of a new series we're going to do called The Bridge. No coincidence that's the name of our church, but it's talking about Jesus being a bridge to hope, a bridge to authenticity, and a bridge to unity. And he is really a crossover, a bridge to many things. And we're going to look at that in these today and in these weeks to come. And we're going to look at also the relationship that Jesus really wants to have with us. Do you know that Jesus wants to be near you? He really wants to be near you. He wants nearness with us, and we're going to look at that. And that's the reason that he came and died for us, because he wanted to be near us, to bridge the gap, between God and ourselves, and to have a relationship with us through the resurrection. Amen. And so in Ephesians 2:13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, you who were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Jesus just wants to be near us. He wants to be so close to you. He wants you to be near to him. And so he's waiting for you, and he wants you. And so this morning we're going to just watch a short video just to give us a little bit of a platform to go forward. So guys, when you're ready, thank you.
Every day is a blessing, and every day that I have with my children will be a blessing. To know that I could have been dead or in jail, I'm just going to cherish every moment. And if the time comes, I'll be brave and share my story with them as best that I can. I had surrounded myself with a great group of people when I was young, so I had fun friends. And actually, one of the friend's brothers is the one who introduced us to marijuana. And that was kind of the beginning of the downward spiral in my life. The addiction started really gripping my life and consuming me. And so every dollar that I had to my name was spent on alcohol, was on drugs. I would go nights where I would sleep on couches, on floors, days without eating because my high was more important to me. It just consumed me. It was there from the moment I got up in the morning to the moment I passed out at night. 4 months after my fourth DWI, I had a warrant for my arrest and I was finally sent to jail. When you get there, they strip you of all your clothes, make you stand in a shower with cold water. In that moment, I was scared because I thought, this is my future. Normally when you're in jail, they give you a cellmate, and the first night the running light started flickering, and the next morning they put me in a room by myself. And it was in those times when I was alone in that room that I reached out, and I feel like God was there waiting for me. I had felt that I was forgiven, and in that forgiveness there was peace, and I knew that there was a better life for me than the one that I had chosen for myself. So on that 28th day, I went in front of a judge with chains on my hands, and I broke down and I cried, and I explained to her the change that happened in my life. The first time walking into church after all this had happened, I just felt so welcomed, and there's such an embrace there and this energy that I hadn't felt before in my life. I don't even remember what the message was, but it was as if the message had been written specifically for me. So at the end of the sermon, I gave my life to Jesus and realized that I wanted to live my life for him. There is no problem too big for Jesus. He completely took my addiction to drugs and alcohol. If you give Jesus everything, He'll give you back more than you can even imagine.
There's no problem that's too big for Jesus. And He was so true, so right when He said that if you give Him your life, He'll give you back more than you could ever imagine. And we're going to make that opportunity available at the end of the service today. If you don't know Jesus, after hearing some of these words today, hopefully this morning, you might consider in your heart that there really is a Savior, and He wants you. He wants to be close to you. He wants to be near to you, and He wants to help you through the rest of your life and guide you into eternity. And He wants to fill your life with power. It's like that young man said, you know, the power of addiction is really strong. We need a greater power to overcome the powers of addiction. We need a much greater power. And I know that that power that took Jesus Christ out of the pit of hell will take anyone out of their addiction. Amen. It will, in Jesus' name. It'll take anyone out of it. And He said that peace, when He reached out for forgiveness, peace followed that. And then after peace, He walked into a better life. And just so powerful. I'm so thankful for these testimonies, and we're going to have testimonies of our own of the next few weeks, and more people that are total strangers, but all over the world, the power of Jesus is working to change people's lives. And if we give Him everything, He'll give us back more than we could ever imagine. And I'm so thankful that He was our replacement. He took our place. And there's so many things in our lives we want replaced. Is there anyone here that wants to replace something in their life? We've got something that we want to replace. If I could only take my anxiety and replace it with calmness, how does that apply to anyone here today? If I could only take my fear and replace it with faith. If I could only take my sickness and replace it with good health. If I could only take the conflict that's going on inside me and the turmoil and the struggles, and if I could replace that with peace, wouldn't that be great? If I could only take the confusion that's in my mind. And the thing is that confusion in the mind seeps down into your heart, and it changes your belief system until eventually you don't know if you're coming or if you're going. If I could only replace that confusion with clarity, oh man, it would be so good. If only I could get out of bondage and know what it means to be free. Thanks be to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He will lead you to freedom if you give Him your life. Amen. Amen. And He's already provided us with a bridge to cross over from these old places and to go to new ground. It's like that bridge there. I found out the other week that bridge is in Oregon in the USA. Beautiful bridge. But a bridge is something that is there to get you from one side to another. And Satan, our adversary, is trying to blow up bridges all over the place. He just wants to blow up bridges. He doesn't want anyone to cross over from one side to the other. He doesn't want any of you to replace the problems and the issues that you have with a better thing. He doesn't want it. The Word tells us that. But you know what? On the cross, Jesus was making sure for you and I that Satan would have no more authority over us. He does have power, but he has no more authority. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you give Him everything, Stuart, when you give Him everything, the enemy has no more authority over your life. He will try and use his power to blow up the bridge, but he will not have any authority over your life. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's necessary for the crossover? Well, I believe it was the resurrection that was necessary for the crossover. And Knowing what the resurrection really means and what it released to us as Christians is vital that we understand that. And I just want to read this here. Well, let me say this. God vindicated Jesus by the resurrection. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 and 23, it says that anyone who dies upon a tree or upon a cross is cursed of God. And if you read Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says there, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse of the law. And one translation says that he redeemed us from doom. And have you ever heard people come to you and say, oh, I'm doomed. There's no more doom because of the cross and the resurrection. There's no more, we're not doomed to anything. You're not doomed to failure. You're not doomed to a substandard, second-rate life. You're not doomed at all. Because he himself became a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree and is crucified. And throughout scripture, we come across this narrative of the tree. You know, we all know when it says the tree, we know it is also referring to the cross. And if you look at the narrative of the tree in scripture, there's blessing and cursing attached to it. And in Genesis, it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil that was eaten that ushered in that sin into the world. And in between, it was the tree that Jesus hung on, which provided the answer to all of that sin. So there's a solution and an answer there. Then finally in Revelations 22, 14, if you go and read that, it mentions the tree of life that ultimately removes sin for all eternity. You know, you have an eternity waiting for you in a resurrected body. And you will be free from every blemish and every sin that ever tried to attach itself to you. If you would just say, Father God, forgive me. I thank you, I'm covered by the blood of your son, Jesus. My past is under the blood. You don't see that anymore. All you see is me standing in front of you, the righteousness of God in Christ. That's all it is. Amen. Amen. And Jesus didn't deserve the cross. Some people may have thought, well, he was tried by a Roman court, he was found guilty, and he was convicted under the law of that time. And the punishment of the law at that time was crucifixion. You were either stoned, or if it was serious enough, you went to be crucified. And so and I said this on Friday night, we sometimes think, well, didn't Jesus have a choice? Well, he did have a choice. And we think that it was all going to be okay at the end of the day because God knew the bigger picture and God knew the big plan. So everything was going to be fine. You're going to get hurt for a little bit. You're going to suffer excruciating pain. You know, if you take that word excruciating and you divide it up, in the middle of it, there's crucifixion. The word excruciating comes from that word crucifixion. When someone describes the worst pain they can ever feel, they say it's excruciating. So can you imagine how the cross must have felt? Just the pain. Excruciating pain. And did he have a choice? He did have a choice. He said that in the garden. He said, is it possible that this cup can go? And I don't have to take this excruciating pain. But because he loved us, he just pushes through. Amen. And eventually he says, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? Why? It's like he felt disowned. That is how lonely he felt. And so none of us can ever be that far away from God because God came back through for Jesus. Amen. He came back through, and because Jesus finished what he started, and he sacrificed all, God said, I'm pleased. What did God say? I'm pleased with you. After Jesus said, it is finished, he said, this is my son, I'm well pleased. He'd gone through, he'd finished his race, he'd accomplished that. He was so pleased with Jesus that he vindicates him by resurrecting him, because Jesus had to go down into hell to win the victory there, to win the keys of sin and death there. He had to go there. And there's a lot of facets to Jesus' resurrection. And we focus quite a lot on the empty tomb and then that Jesus appeared afterwards. And but, you know, Jesus' spirit was made alive on the third day. God's life entered Jesus' spirit on the third day. Jesus was spiritually dead in hell. He was spiritually dead. He died physically on the cross. But when he went to, his body was in a tomb, but his spirit was in hell. And God breathed life into Jesus' spirit. And that's the power. That's the power. It's when God breathes his life into your spirit, that is where the power is. Amen? He died on that cross, took our sin, was separated from his Father, and then came back to life out of death. And that's what God's all about, life out of death. I believe that. I believe that God wants to take every dead situation in your life and bring it back to life. He wants to do that. Amen. He wants to take everyone and bring it back to life. And that's why the resurrection power available to us means that all those things that we wish could be replaced have been, and all we need to do is receive them. Do you realize that all of those things have already been taken care of? All we need to do is receive them. So if you feel that you've been treated unfairly or unjustly, God will vindicate you just the same way as he vindicated his own son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was justified, and Pastor Bernie said that on Friday night, just as if I was there, Jesus did it for us. And you know, Jesus was, the word says that he was the first fruit of the resurrection. He was the first, his spirit was born again, was new, made new down there. And he was the first fruit of our resurrection. And we'll one day be resurrected to one of two things. We'll either be resurrected to life or to condemnation. And I wanna urge every person in this place today to choose life, choose life. Don't even give the other one a chance. Choose life. Amen. You know, our vision to hopefully live long and prosper, if I can do that sign, is eventually challenged in our latter years. It's challenged with decline. Amen? Amen. But you know, and sadly for some people, even sooner. We all look forward to our you know, resurrection life in a resurrected body starts to look really good when you start to get into like 50, 60, 70, 80. Yeah. But that's what we've got to look forward to. Gran, you're going to have a resurrected body in heaven. You're going to look amazing. So you are. You're going to look amazing. Amen. That is the truth. It's the truth. And you know, that resurrection hope gives us, especially in the latter years of our life, gives us a great hope. Great expectation. Because Christianity, you know, and being in Christ is not just about us dealing with this life. It's a lot to do with our future. Amen. It's a lot to do with our future. Jesus had a resurrection body. It was tangible. People felt it, didn't they? He even ate food. It was like you could feel it and touch it, and it was there. He was in a resurrected body. So there's a life and there's an existence beyond this place. I want to let every one of you know. That's the message. If you're a Christian sitting in this place, take that message today to someone else and say, there's a life and there's an existence beyond the here and the now. Because some people think that it's just that they're worm fodder. When this is over, it's over. Nothing happens. There is an existence beyond here. And you have a resurrection body to look forward to. Do you know there's a new heaven and a new earth coming? There's a new heaven and a new earth coming, and our resurrection has been secured by his resurrection. So that's why we're here this morning, just to remind you that our resurrection is secured by his. He was raised. There was no doubt about it. He was raised. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, it says there, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.